You are Locked On Saints, your daily New Orleans Saints podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What is good, Houdat Nation and Houdat family? Welcome into this week's Crossover Thursday here at Locked On Saints, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day, here every single Monday through Friday, 5 days a week, covering your New Orleans Saints. This football season will be different, and Pepsi is here to get you ready for game day. No matter how you watch this season, Pepsi is a refreshment that you need to power through game day and become a member of the league of football watchers. These passionate fans are the real generational talent that Pepsi fuels, because Pepsi isn't made for those who play the game. It's made for those who watch it. Pepsi, made for football watching. Drew Brees has been designated to return from injured reserve, the first part of the process back to the field. We're going to talk about what that means right now, what the chances are that Brees plays this weekend, and what head coach Sean Payton had to say about what he wants to see from Drew Brees now that his practice window is open. Then it's Crossover Thursday, so Locked On Chiefs host Chris Clark and I break down this weekend's matchup. Who's the more important piece to slow down on Kansas City's offense? Who's most important to get going for New Orleans? And more on this monumental Saints and Chiefs Week 15 game. As always, I'm your host, Ross Jackson, at Ross Jackson Nola on Twitter, editor over at CanalStreetChronicles.com, and the Tuesday co-host of the National Locked On NFL podcast. We got all that and a little bit of Lanyap for you on today's episode of Locked On Saints, your team every day. New Orleans Saints quarterback Drew Brees was designated to return to Saints practice on Wednesday. While it is good news and a step forward, it doesn't necessarily mean just yet that we'll see him on Sunday. That's our New Orleans Saints lead story of the day today with Ross Jackson of Locked On Saints. So Drew Brees was present at New Orleans Saints practice on Wednesday and has been designated to return from injured reserve. And there's a lot of confusion around that. It does not mean to hear that a player is designated to return from injured reserve that they are back on the active roster. What that does is that it opens up a 3-week or 21-day practice window during which time a player can return to practice and would need to make it back to the active roster within that window. If they don't, then that player reverts to season-ending injured reserve. So it's very unlikely that that will happen for Drew Brees, but it does mean that there are still a few steps ahead of getting him out on the field, even if they are able to get him out as early as this Sunday, which still is a work in progress. He was back at practice on Wednesday, had a throwing window with trainers, and is being looked at to see how his range of motion looks, how the pain is it manageable? All of those things. So there are a lot of elements that still go in, and this is just the first part of the process for Drew Brees to get back out on the field. So that's what that means right now. Now, what are the chances that we see Brees on the field on Sunday? Some are actually giving it better than 50-50 chances, and that is a very important thing to consider, because if they're able to get Drew Brees back out on the field against Kansas City, that sort of changes the complexion of this entire game for both New Orleans and the Chiefs. This would be a very big deal for New Orleans to have Drew Brees out there, even if he's on a pitch count. Any type of presence from Drew Brees is going to shake up the way that this game ends up looking. Now, it's going to be a little bit tough to, you know, fold in and create a game plan around a guy who only had a throwing window on Wednesday, but if he's back to practice on Thursday and he's able to really get involved and be a part of that practice, then that speaks really highly and really favorably towards his progress throughout the week. And it's a credit to Drew Brees, who we know is a fast healer and wants to come back from his injury as quickly as possible. We saw that with the UCL tear last year as well. Now, Sean Payton was asked about Drew Brees on Thursday morning. He was asked about what he wants to see from Brees now that he's been designated for return. This was shared out by Luke Johnson at By Luke Johnson on Twitter. And Payton detailed, it's just functionality, strength, throwing without soreness. There's a process. Last week, he was with trainers. He had one throwing day, and yesterday, Wednesday, the same way. It's really asymptomatic, feeling good, strong, like you can function and be an asset and play well. So that's the big deal for New Orleans. They've been saying that they're not going to let him get back out on the field until he's 100%. And this seems to confirm it. The idea of rushing a player back from injury feels very 2014 through 16 New Orleans Saints, not really 2020 New Orleans Saints, which makes a ton of sense, honestly. I mean, if you rush him back too quickly and then you lose you can gain the number one seed, but then if you end up losing him for the playoffs, how much does that actually matter? There's a lot of different scenarios and a lot of different context to weigh in this situation. One more interesting note from Thursday morning's conference with Sean Payton. This was also shared out by Luke Johnson. Mike Triplett had asked a follow-up question about whether or not the team is waiting on medical clearance for Drew Brees. And the answer that Sean Payton gave is pretty specific. I think everyone's monitoring and paying attention to it all. We'll just see how this goes this week. It feels like if they were still waiting on medical clearance that Sean Payton would say that. If the team already has medical clearance from the medical team and they just need to see how he's playing out in terms of, you know, soreness and range of motion and all those things, then that's a pretty good measure. It's a pretty good bar. So interesting that he didn't come out and say, yes, we're still waiting on medical clearance and that this throwing, these throwing meetings are a part of that evaluation. Just to hear him move on from that is a pretty interesting piece of context. Now, I'm speculating a bit, but interesting to hear him not say that they were waiting on that medical clearance. So we'll see. We'll see. The process has started. Maybe it is Drew Brees that goes out there to take on the Kansas City Chiefs at the Mercedes-Benz Superdome in front of 3,000 people running out the tunnel like Bobby Boucher at the Bourbon Bowl. We don't know. We don't know. But it'll be really interesting to continue to track this all throughout the week. And of course, we'll give you more updates on it on Friday. But today is our crossover Thursday. So coming up here in just a moment, I'm going to be joined by my good friend Chris Clark from over at the Locked On Chiefs podcast to help break down the Kansas City Chiefs visiting the New Orleans Saints. Who do the Saints need to limit? Who do the Saints need to get going? What can they do to take advantage of and find a way to limit Patrick Mahomes as much as possible? A lot of questions to ask, a lot of questions answered coming up here in just a moment here on Locked On Saints, your team every day. Today's episode is brought to you by Built Go from our good friends over at Built Bar. It's talking about limiting the Kansas City Chiefs offense. Hard to do when they're rolling. Limiting the New Orleans Saints offense. Also hard to do when they're in rhythm, particularly with Drew Brees under center. So we'll see what that ends up meaning. But I can tell you what, both of these teams could probably use a little bit of Built Go. Get some of that protein going. Get some of that energy going as well. This is essentially a 1.5 ounce package that is an energy gel mixed with the collagen protein to give you everything you need to keep yourself going strong all throughout the day and ignite your work immediately. It's got beta-alanine, B3, honey, and a kick of caffeine, as well as 10,000% of your daily percentage of B6 and B12 vitamins, and that collagen protein, fast absorbing, so it gets into your system fast. Plus, it's super easy on the stomach as well. It's natural and it's better for the body. Go and check it out. Visit builtgo.com and use the promo code LOCKED, LOCKED, and you'll get 20% off of your next order. Just use promo code LOCKED to get 20% off at builtgo.com. Let's go. All right, y'all, don't forget tomorrow is Film Friday here on Locked On Saints, so don't miss it. We'll break down some of the film from recent games by the Kansas City Chiefs. If there's anywhere that the Saints can attack, where they have to be careful, and much more context we'll be able to dig up from the Kansas City Chiefs film. And we'll take a look at our three keys to victory as we do every week before the game. But today is crossover Thursday, and I'm joined by my good friend Chris Clark at Chris Clark NFL on Twitter, one of the hosts over at the Locked On Chiefs podcast. To kick it off, I've got some questions for him about what the Saints need to do against the Kansas City Chiefs on Sunday.
When it comes down to the Chiefs coming into this game, based on, first of all, probably what you saw against the Philadelphia Eagles for the New Orleans Saints, but also what you've seen from them over the course of the season, what is your general outlook coming into this game, and what's the confidence of the Kansas City Chiefs coming into it?
You know, I think you look at what the Chiefs have done so far this year, and it may not be pretty at times, but they find a way to win. Mm-hmm. Most of the time, they find a way to win, and that's really what's important. You know, a lot of people will tell you that they wish that they would win by more. I will tell you, I wish they would win by more. I mean, it'd be nice to have some two-score games and not have to worry about it towards the end of the game. But, you know, at this point with the Chiefs, it's do they find a way to win? And that's really what they've been doing over the past couple of weeks. You know, even the Miami game where they're up 3 scores going in, late into the game, and then Miami makes it a game late. You know, Kansas City, I think, was always in control of that game, at least after they went up 18 points. They never really relinquished that control. So I think that's really what you have to look at. And honestly, that is the situation with Mahomes playing probably his worst game as a pro, throwing 3 picks.
Yeah, absolutely. And that was a strange game from the very beginning with all those interceptions. But there are, I imagine, some things that maybe Dennis Allen can look at and try to take away from that game. Is there anything in particular that stood out from you? Was that just a bad game for Patrick Mahomes, or was there something that Miami did that caused that to be the case?
I think that they were giving him a hard time at the line of scrimmage trying to figure out what the defense was. I think that they had a lot of up and down people, and I think that caused some issues. But I also think that you look at Miami's corners and they're fantastic. Mm-hmm. The third interception that he threw to Xavier Howard, I'm sorry, I'm not putting that on Mahomes.
No, that was all a play by Xavier Howard for sure.
I mean, that was just – you give the corner the credit on that play, and you know, you go with it the way it was. I wish it wouldn't have happened, obviously, but you know, you look at it and it's like, okay, well, it did happen, so you move on. And that's the attitude he has whenever he throws an interception. He doesn't really care. He comes back and plays the same way he was playing before. He's not going to take less shots because he throws a pick. And that really helps. I mean, you look at that deep touchdown to Tyreek Hill. If he would have stopped throwing deep after two interceptions, he never would have had that play. And that was a big changing point in that game.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, you mentioned Tyreek Hill. There's also Travis Kelce on that offense, of course, and just a lot of weapons that Patrick Mahomes can maximize at any time. If a defense was looking to try to limit one of those players as much as possible to try to therefore limit Patrick Mahomes, which person, which player at the skill positions is the right one to focus on?
Travis Kelce.
Yeah.
If you think you can shut him down, which I'm going to tell anybody that tries, best of luck to you, unless 100%. You're going to put four guys on him. And I know that may sound cocky, and that's fine. I guess I'll take it that way. But, you know, I look at what he's been doing this season, and even if you double team him, if you give Mahomes more than 3 or 4 seconds, he's going to find a way to get Kelce open, or Kelsey's going to find a way to get open, and they work so well together. It's really hard with Kelsey's size and speed to cover him with any type of player. I mean, linebacker, he can usually run away from most linebackers, and when you try to put a corner on him, he's just going to body up the corner. So he makes some acrobatic catches. I mean, the catch he had last week against on the sideline against Miami was fantastic as well, and that's coming from a guy that, you know, is a tight end. He's not a wide receiver. You wouldn't expect him to go up and make those types of acrobatic catches, but he can do it. So that's a feather in his cap.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, the Saints are going to have to try to put everybody and their mom on Travis Kelce and just see who works. It's going to be a mixture of DeMario Davis, Quan Alexander, CJ Gardner-Johnson, Malcolm Jenkins. I think Malcolm Jenkins maybe might be the most trustworthy person just in terms of having some veteran experience guarding some of the best tight ends across the NFL. But even still, the size difference is something that obviously the Saints will have to be concerned about. You know, the Kansas City Chiefs went out first round of this draft, drafted somebody that most Saints fans are already extremely fond of, and Clyde Edwards-Helaire out of the running back out of LSU. What can you tell us a little bit about his fit in the offense so far? I know that it's kind of been, the production hasn't necessarily been there in the run game for him, you know, hugely over the last few games, but obviously he's still a very important part of that offense.
You know, I think when you look at this Kansas City offense, the thing that they struggle with right now is they have, I mean, you look at their offensive line right now, they were down to their third string tackle. Mm-hmm. Right tackle. They're down to their second string right guard, second string left guard. And now you're in a situation where it sounds like they're going to put their backup right tackle on IR. So they're going to be without him. Mitchell Schwartz is more than likely still out. So we haven't got any updates on him at this point. And when you start talking about the running game, that's really what it comes down to, is you just don't have those guys that can step in there and get that running game going. The offensive line needs to pick it up a little bit to be able to have that going. I think what you see from Clyde, though, is he is very elusive, and it's great to get him the ball in space. I think that's mm-hmm. where he works the best. I do think that it's going to be something that if they can get a couple more, you know, a little bit of a better offensive line next year, I think that you'll see him be a little bit more productive. But at the same time, you know, this year he can be split out and used as a wide receiver and is just about as dangerous as most of the NFL when it comes to being a wide receiver out there. So, you know, I think that's a plus in his side, and I think that he will continue to get better as the season goes on.
Yeah. Jumping over to the Saints offense, Kansas City defense, it looks like the Saints, I'm just going to say at this point, pretty likely that Taysom Hill is going to be the quarterback going into this game, but there's still conversations around Drew Brees that we'll, of course, continue to have. But when it comes down to what this Saints offense needs to do in order to attack the Kansas City defense, what should their focus be, and where is sort of the place to where you feel like maybe Kansas City is the most vulnerable on the defensive side?
If New Orleans can run the ball, I think they'll be successful on offense against Kansas City. But, you know, the real question here is can Kansas City look at Taysom Hill and figure out different things that he's not able to do that will take away options for the Saints? If they can do that, I think that they have a chance at slowing the offense down for the Saints. But really, from what I have seen from the Saints, for the most part, Michael Thomas is a guy that you have to absolutely take it into consideration every single play. Mm-hmm. And that's going to be something that Kansas City's got to focus on. They have a great group of corners. I think they played a lot better than most people were expecting. Their secondary is pretty good. But when you start looking at the guys that they're going to have to defend, you know, Kansas City knows Emmanuel Sanders. They played him, right, you know, many years in Buffalo, and then they played him in the Super Bowl when he was with the 49ers. So they know what they're getting into there. It's Michael Thomas that I think is going to be a key for the Saints. If they can get him going and Taysom Hill is able to spread the ball around a little bit, I think that will help them as well.
Yeah, I think it's something that we all want to see, of course, from the Saints side of that conversation as well. All right, final question for you before you flip the script here. Want to take a look at the New Orleans Saints offense again, but specifically over on the offensive line, the Saints offensive line, particularly over on the left side of the line, defensive right, struggled quite a bit against Philadelphia. They're going to do everything that they can to remedy that, but they still have had some struggles in the interior of the offensive line here. How important is that going into this matchup?
That's huge. If you're going to have struggles in the interior of your offensive line, Chris Jones is going to eat you alive. And that is just the reality of the NFL. Chris Jones, I think, is probably a top three tackle in the NFL, in my opinion. You look at him, I'm not going to put him on the same level as Aaron Donald, but he's, in my mind, right underneath Aaron Donald. And you look at his productivity. I mean, obviously, he's not getting to the quarterback near as much as you would like, but teams are usually double and triple teaming him. And that causes severe problems at other areas. So that should help. I think that if Chris Jones can have a big game against the Saints, that could go a long way for Kansas City being able to put this game away.
Yeah, you've seen at least a pair of sacks in each of the Taysom Hill's four starts over the season, and a lot of those coming from the interior. So Chris Jones, definitely somebody to keep an eye out on. And in just a moment, we're going to flip the script here. Chris got some questions for me. We'll take a look at the Saints' perspective heading into this big-time matchup, Week 15, the New Orleans Saints hosting the Super Bowl champion Kansas City Chiefs, coming through, of course, led by Patrick Mahomes. We'll get to that here in just a moment, but of course, need to let you know that this football season will be different, and Pepsi's here to get you ready for game day, no matter how you watch the season. And obviously, there's a lot of excitement around this game. The New Orleans Saints looking to bounce back, the Kansas City Chiefs looking to keep rolling. Kansas City Chiefs now sitting with the number one seed in the AFC, yeah?
Yeah, they are sitting at the number one seed, and that's a great place for them to be, but they have a lot of different things that have to take place for them to continue to be the number one seed. Obviously, if they went out, that helps, but they've got a tough stretch of games. I'm not putting anything against the Saints or anything against even the Chargers, who gave Kansas City a good game earlier this season. So definitely something to watch.
Yep, and the Saints going to be trying to claw their way back to the number one seed in the NFC. And Pepsi's refreshment that you need to power through game day and become a member of the League of Football Watchers. These passionate fans are the real generational talent that Pepsi fuels. Pepsi isn't made for those who play the game. It's made for those who watch it. Pepsi, made for football watching. Go to madeforfootballwatching.com to check out the latest football watching content from Pepsi.
All right, y'all, flipping the script so that Chris can ask me some questions about the New Orleans Saints. But first, betting on the Saints doesn't have to be a guessing game. If you listen to the new Locked On Bets podcast, hosted by your boy Q and handicapping expert Lee Sterling, get the daily picks, quick hitting advice, and make the smartest possible wagers. Subscribe to the Locked On Bets podcast, brought to you by betonline.ag, wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, so let's go ahead and hop over. And Ross, I'm going to start asking you some questions about this Saints game, because this game is intriguing me this entire season. I'm not going to lie. I believe when I did the original predictions for Kansas City earlier this season that I was picking them to lose this game, mainly because going down to New Orleans and playing in New Orleans is going to be always going to be a tough place to play. And then you add in, you know, guys like Michael Thomas, and it looks like Drew Brees may not play in this game. I was expecting him to be back, but what can you tell Chiefs fans about Drew Brees going into this week?
Yeah, so interesting stuff for Drew. I mean, the biggest thing that you're seeing right now in terms of the narrative is that the Saints won't expect to have him back until he's 100%. As late as last week, he was dealing with significant pain, according to Sean Payton, in terms of his throwing motion, not having a full range of motion. So all of that is sort of what you're waiting to figure out going into this week, whether or not he's sort of surpassed all of that to the point to where he can play. But if they're going to wait for him to be 100%, I wouldn't be surprised to see him not play here, because the Saints also have to keep in consideration that not only are they going to be playing against the Kansas City Chiefs here on Sunday the 20th, but just 5 days later, Friday the 25th, they have another game up against the Minnesota Vikings. Tough to ask a guy with 11 rib fractures and a collapsed lung to come through and play two games in 5 days, you know, so it might be a little bit tough to get him out there at this point.
If he's not able to play, I think it really changes the way things are going to work for New Orleans, obviously. And you know, I hate that it takes a little bit of the luster out of the game, but there's still going to be intrigue on both sides of the ball. So if we start looking at that Saints offense, what have you really seen from Taysom Hill so far in his time this season?
Yeah, I think, you know, a lot of people want to jump immediately to a negative, but let me talk a little bit of positive about Taysom Hill. Some of the things that you have seen from him, of course, obviously his ability to extend plays with his legs is something that you haven't seen in a New Orleans Saints offense probably since Aaron Brooks, maybe, or maybe even like early day Drew Brees with the tennis legs, being able to get him around a little bit. But when you look at what Taysom Hill has brought, he's brought more shots down the field. He's brought higher ball velocity. He has brought somebody that can extend plays and then get outside the pocket. And he does a really good job. One of the things that you love about Taysom Hill is the fact that he has a very short memory. If he makes mistakes, he'll go out there and then forget about them and then completely be ready to move on the very next play, the very next drive. And that's good because there have been some mistakes there, but you don't want to see him ever compound those. And so far, he's avoided that to an extent. The big thing is going to be, are they going to allow this offense to open up to a place where he is going to be able to play up to his strengths and be able to utilize his legs without having to make a second thought of trying to look downfield? If he can get, as he mentioned in a post-game presser, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 yards of yardage before contact, then making that decision to be able to go and do that as opposed to looking for the receivers down the field may help him a little bit just in terms of keeping Kansas City's defense on their toes. That's going to be a big key for him coming in. It's something he's proven to be able to do in spots throughout the season, but so far over these last few games, it hasn't been consistent. So you want to see him develop the consistency there.
So you start looking at the rest of the offense. Obviously, I think one of the players, and this is actually somebody I think will give Kansas City a hard time, is going to be Jared Cook. Obviously, you have Michael Thomas. You have a very talented offense with multiple different weapons. But tight end has been something that's really hurt Kansas City. What have you seen from him this year? And is that a player that you expect to continue to have big games for them from time to time?
Yeah, he's been an interesting watch so far this season because he's been, I think many Saints fans would agree, massively inconsistent thus far. He didn't really pick up exactly where he left off last season, which was really the hope for him, where he scored 7 touchdowns over the final 10 or so games. You didn't really see that come from, but on the same side, he's already got 6 touchdowns on the season as well. He's just not really racking up in terms of what you saw from him in terms of catch percentage. You see some drop passes, things like that. But over the last few games and over the last 2 weeks, he has a touchdown and 3 catches in each of those games as well. So he has been somebody that Taysom Hill is not afraid to go to. I think that if he is a big part of the game plan, it's better for the Saints than if he is not, if that makes sense. Even though maybe you've seen some things that maybe make you feel that he's a little bit more unreliable than he was last season, he's a veteran guy that you know you can trust and that can come through in those big moments, even when he has, talk about a short memory for Taysom Hill. Jared Cook displays the same thing. I think that they do want to continue to roll and see what they can continue to create with Jared Cook moving forward this season. And I think he should be part of the game plan this weekend.
When you start flipping it over to the other side of the ball, I will say I was really kind of shocked that New Orleans allowed the Eagles to win that game. And honestly, Jalen Hurts, I thought, played pretty okay. I'm not going to say he played great, but I thought he played okay. What did you see in that defensive unit, and what are you looking for this week when the New Orleans Saints defense is trying to stop this Kansas City offense?
You have to look at moment by moment the way that these things can compound on top of one another. Simple decisions like not going for it on 4th and 1 in the second quarter and choosing to punt the ball away with just over 2 minutes left in the first half, and then a couple of plays later, Quan Alexander chooses the left gap as opposed to the right gap on a run play, and all of a sudden Miles Sanders is down the sideline for 82 yards. It's amazing the ripple effect and the way that these decisions can compound. And so you can track it down to just a couple of decisions, a couple of moments throughout the game. The 4th and 2 play call when the Saints could have taken the lead, you know, when they were down, I think it was only 14-17 at that point. Taysom Hill gets sacked and fumbles the ball. The fumble I'm not too worried about in that one because no matter what, that play was dead to rights the moment that it was called. Linebacker making a great play, carrying Emmanuel Sanders down the field. It's going to be those things lucking out for the Saints as opposed to falling apart for the Saints. That's going to be a big difference for them in this game. Over on the defensive side, though, you just want to see a little bit more consistency, a little bit more composure. They had a lot of trouble with contain on the outside and along the edges. Eye discipline popped up to be an issue, which was an early issue for them in the season. Those are things that you want to see them immediately get back righted, because those are big time issues to have against the Kansas City Chiefs.
Eye discipline is going to be something that's huge. If you do not have that against Patrick Mahomes, he will make you pay for it. And that is definitely something that they need to get taken care of going into this week. When you look at the speed that Kansas City possesses on the offensive side of the ball, where do you think that the Saints are going to be looking on defense to really slow this offense down? Do you think that they're going to be looking at Travis Kelce, kind of like we talked about, or do you think that they'll look at Tyreek Hill?
The Saints have been really interesting this season. When they had an opportunity, or when they had the door open, I'll say, at the trade deadline to maybe make a move in the secondary, they chose instead to make a move at linebacker and shore up the middle of the field. I think that if that's their mentality, to where the middle of the field is what they're most concerned with in terms of what gets attacked more times than those deep 40-yard plays and things like that, I think that in that case, Travis Kelce is probably where the focus goes in terms of trying to weed out the ability to move the ball comfortably and easily over the middle of the field. That's something that they're definitely going to want to try to get rid of. That sort of two-level defense that they put up against Matt Ryan, which is not the same quarterback as Patrick Mahomes by any stretch of the imagination, but the focus of taking away short and intermediate and then forcing them to wait and allow for their pass rush to be able to engage and get into the game by having to wait for deeper plays to develop and things like that. That may be where you see them go. They're going to struggle with Tyreek Hill's speed, though. Marshon Lattimore struggles big time as their number one corner against guys that are fast, shifty, and quick. All of that is Tyreek Hill's entire brand. So usually they try to put Janoris Jenkins on that guy, but Janoris Jenkins is also on the wrong side of 30 going up against Tyreek Hill, who's like the fastest human being in the entire planet.
Right.
And so it'll be interesting to see how they balance that.
And the other side of that is that you still have Sammy Watkins and Mecole Hardman as well, right, who both have that speed and the twitchiness, not near obviously as Tyreek Hill does, but still pretty fast for NFL standards. So
yep.
I definitely think that's going to be a big key to this game. Last question I have for you going into this game. One of the things that Kansas City has done consistently week in and week out is, you know, they've scored a lot of points. Mm-hmm. What do you think, as a coach for Sean Payton, how do you think he's looking at this game, trying to figure out how to slow this offense down? Do you think that they're going to try to play keep away and run the ball more, or do you think that they're going to do what they normally do on defense?
Yeah, good question. I think it is a combination of both of those things, because the focus on defense is usually winning in the trenches. The focus in dominating the run game is winning in the trenches. Sean Payton is very much a trenches guy. That's where he wants to win the game. It's where they lost the game on Sunday against the Philadelphia Eagles. He's going to want to correct that, right that ship as quickly as possible, especially in a game like this. Try to control the ball as much as possible, keep it away from the Kansas City offense, but still putting themselves in position with red zone possessions to put points on the board.
Yeah, and that's one thing that's been very surprising for Kansas City. They've definitely struggled on offense in the red zone. Ross, thank you very much for coming on. I really do appreciate it. It's been a lot of fun.
Yeah, man, absolutely. Always a pleasure. Take care. Enjoy the game this weekend, and I look forward to connecting afterwards. Maybe one of us will need a couple days before we talk to each other, but it'll be fine. It'll be fine.
Yeah, it'll be fine, and hopefully we're talking again in February.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's get that done.
All right, y'all. Don't forget to come back tomorrow. Do not miss tomorrow's episode. It's our Film Friday. It's our Three Keys to Victory, and it's a full update on everything going on with the injury report throughout the week. Big thank you to Chris Clark for joining us for another week of Locked On Crossover episodes. You will get another one next week. Even though it's Christmas week, you'll still get another one with myself and Luke Braun looking ahead to the Vikings Christmas Day game. So do not worry about that. But I thank you very much, as always, y'all, for coming through. Once again, I'm Ross Jackson. You can follow me on Twitter at Ross Jackson, N-O-L-A. Hit me up. Let me know how the family's doing. Let me know how you're living. Let me know how your mom and them. Tell your friends, family, and fellow Saints fans about the show. And if you haven't already, please take a moment to subscribe. Drop that 5-star rating and review. I thank you so much for all your support and for helping me grow this family. This has been Locked On Saints, and trust to that nation. I'll holla at you.